Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday. Amen. We have victory. Jesus Christ turned death into life, and because of that life, we celebrate. Amen. Today is a day of celebration where Jesus, who was put in the tomb, dead, rose again on that Easter morning. They went to the tomb searching for him, but the angel was there saying, "Don't you know? He risen. He is alive, just like he said he would. Why do you search for the living among the dead?" Amen. So let's search for the Lord in life, in the life he's given us, in the abundant life we have in Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's celebrate him, because all of our problems we have has been erased through Jesus Christ. The cross that was meant for death now is our life in restoration. So this morning, let's just focus on him, and let's worship our Lord and Savior, and let's celebrate a risen Savior. Church, let's pray. Lord, as they went that morning to an empty tomb, Lord, we stand on the other side of that victory. Lord, we stand in your complete victory of the cross. Lord, we take this time, Lord, to pause and to remember when, in the old covenant, when they were searching for you, they were looking for the Savior. Lord, they would offer the sacrifices, the perfect lamb. They would have a scapegoat. They would do all these things as a type and shadow of the Savior to come. Lord, but when you offered yourself on the altar, all sacrifices have stopped. And now we live in the victory of the cross. We live in the reality of a resurrected Savior. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to Israel today and look and sit in the empty tomb. We know it's empty. We know you're risen because you are here with us this morning. Your spirit is alive in us. And the same spirit that rose you from the dead now resides in us to move forward and do your will in this world. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you, to celebrate that empty tomb. And Lord, to celebrate each other and to love each other as you have loved us. Lord, bless this time together, and Lord, and bless everyone here in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. At this time, the children can go with our children's pastor, Ms. Morgan. They will have a great lesson and learn about our Lord and Savior. Well, it's great to have you this morning at the Way LBK. My name is Josh Clevenger. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's great to have you. And as a gift for coming this morning on Easter Sunday, this confetti is yours, so you can take it with you when you leave. No, seriously, take it with you. But it's great to have you with us. If this is your first time, welcome to the Way. We hope you feel loved, wanted, and welcome in the house of God, because we are not just a church, we are a church family, and we want you to feel a part of that family. And now, as we extend our time of worship, we go into the time of giving to the Lord. If you look at your seat, at the back of your seat, there is a QR code or a tap. You can tap that to give. You can give us your information, because we would love that, because we would love to get to know you. And you can give unto the Lord, because we want to be faithful with what the Lord gives us. We want to reach our community. We want to reach as many people as possible, because we want to be good stewards of God's love and mercy. So you can text your amount. You can scan this QR code and also the back of your chairs, or give into two boxes right when you walk into the sanctuary. Amen. Well, it's great to have you with us in the house of the Lord this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate a risen Savior. No other religion can make the true claim, the true fact, that God himself came down, took our sin, died on the cross, and rose again on the third day, and is with us now. Amen? So this morning, I want you to stand up. We're going to do something a little different this morning. I want you to stand back up. We're getting a lot of exercise this morning. And I want you to take your Bible, or if your Bible's on your phone, you can raise your phone. But we're going to do a little something different this morning. It's a confession of God's word. I did it when I was a kid. My father said it when he went to see Lakewood, because it's there. It started there. But I want to do it this morning, so open our eyes, open our hearts to what God has for us in his word. So let's say it together. It should be right there, right? There it is. So let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is responsive. I will never be the same. Never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's put that in our hearts and let's put that in our minds. We serve a risen Savior. When they went to the tomb, he wasn't there. He wasn't even waiting on them. He was going about the Father's business. So what does the empty tomb mean to us today? Is Easter just something we pause and we celebrate every year? Or is it something that goes with us every single day? And it is. It's something that goes with us every day. So I want to look in God's word to see how the resurrection affects us every day and how we can walk in it, understand it, and live in the reality of Jesus' victory for us. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11 to look at Paul's words, to see the beauty and the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. But what things were gained to me? Paul's recounting his past. These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as nothing, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We have the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are made right with God by our faith, not by works, not by our actions. And Paul is reflecting also on what he has lost. Church, we've all have lost this morning, amen? We've all stand in this world that takes from us and takes from us. But Paul's saying, no matter what I've lost, I count it as nothing in what I have gained in the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Then he says something incredible in verse 10. He goes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul's talking about a death that happens in our walk with the Lord, a death that happens in this world, in the flesh, but a life that comes through the power of his resurrection. We celebrate the cross because what brought death, now as we look at the beauty of that cross, now it brings life. The tomb that stored the dead, it's empty this morning because Jesus walked out of it. And we have that same ability to walk in this world in the power of his resurrection, where sickness, where defeat, worry, anxiety cannot go. Where Jesus went, those things cannot follow. Where sin cannot follow, where even death cannot follow. As Paul said, death, where is your sting? It was taken. The bite of all pain was taken by Jesus and released to us to walk in the freedom of who he is. So let's look at how the empty tomb affects us today. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I like to know, how do things apply to me? How can I hold on to it? Not just sit in a service, in a Bible study, and just read stories, get a Bible lesson, and then I'd leave, and then I have the same problems, I have the same circumstance. No, I want to know, how does it make my life better? How does the gospel in believing in Jesus Christ make my life better? And it does, church. So let's go and let's look at his word to see how the resurrection affects us in every part of our life. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The old things have passed away. Paul says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is a new creation? Something that God does in you that is different than what he's done before. Amen? That he's created in you something that no amount of works this world could not do, self-help could not do, but instantly I am made new in Christ and I become something that never was before. I become a new creation through Jesus Christ. Because I couldn't even been doing what I'm doing this morning, preaching the gospel, if I hadn't submitted to the Lord and became a new creation in myself. And Paul goes on to say, I love it. He says, all things have become new in us. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we've been reconciled, a relationship restored that was broken. Church, I love this, how Paul says, behold, all things have passed away. All things have passed away, but behold, all things have become new. That is not just a one-time thing when I come into the faith. I need this every day. Amen? Because there's things I do, I was like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have had more faith. But every time the sun rises, his mercies renew to us, and behold, all things have become new. And it could be just me, but there's certain times where I need a do-over, amen? Where I need to say, Lord, I just need a do-over because I just messed that up. Boom, all things have passed away. All things have become new. We walk in that reality every single day. We can pull on that. We can say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. And his love, his restoration creates a newness in us. And we have a second chance to do what we couldn't do the first time. Amen? To love, to be kind, to forgive, to have faith. Because how many times did Peter mess up, but the Lord renewed him? And he was the one that said, crucify me upside down, for I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord and Savior. The same Paul who denied Jesus three times, who cut the ear off the guard, the same Peter was renewed to something he wasn't before. And that is what we have in Christ Jesus. Another element of the empty tomb is we have a newness of life. We see it here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. It says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We have this newness of life given to us. There's a death that happens. When we come into Christ, there's a death of the flesh that happens. But we don't stay dead. We rise with him, and we're given something we weren't before. We didn't have before. Life. Hope. We have this ability to have hope when all things are going bad around us. To have peace when everything is chaotic and there's chaos all around us. A peace that surpasses all understanding that does not come from this world but comes from a newness of life in Christ Jesus. It's right there for us, church. It's right there for us because that tomb was empty. Because Jesus rose again. And we have a newness of life to walk in him, to walk in a brand new identity where I can say, I am blessed, I am set free, I am healed, I am the lender and not the debtor. I am the head and not the tail. Amen? I have victory and not defeat. That is what the empty tomb has given us. The ability to claim something we couldn't claim before. Victory in this fallen world. Because what Paul was saying when he said, death, where is your sting? He was saying, Satan, you lost. And now Jesus Christ stands in victory, and I stand with him. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, when Jesus rose, he was in a glorified body. He came and went as he wished. There was times where people didn't even recognize him. Thomas was doubting him, and Jesus just appeared in the midst of him. Jesus was transformed, and the lamb became the lion. And who was weak became strong. Who was dead became alive. Who was in the likeness of sin now becomes our life and our righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to hold on to him, because without him, there is no life, there is no hope, and there is no power of change. Another element of the empty cross is this powerful thing. His spirit is in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, when Jesus left, he said, I have to leave, for the comforter will come, for the Holy Spirit will indwell in you. And the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lies within us this morning. Amen? It's not an accident. It's not just a theory. It's not just something we learn in seminary or learn in a Bible study. It is real. It's in us. The moment you believe, the scripture says you were sealed with his spirit, and now the power of God lies in you. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith to move things. Jesus said, faith as a mustard seed. At that time, it was the smallest seed in the world. He doesn't require a lot, just a hope in him that he can do all things and that we can do all things through him. And that spirit is in us. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, because literally he's living inside of us. We are the temple of God now, housing the Holy Spirit. And we are his hands and feet in this world, looking for someone to love, looking for someone to pray for, looking for someone to speak hope and joy and peace into their chaos, as this world is lacking all hope. This world is lacking peace, but through Jesus Christ, we have peace in him. Lastly, as there's many more points of living in the reality of this empty tomb, I want to go to what Paul says here, that pressing towards the goal of Jesus Christ. In verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. You know, that word press on, it comes with pain. Amen? It comes with discomfort and moving beyond our own comfort level and moving into a place where he is. When a season dies, the great thing about a season dying, a new season is emerging. You know, when Jesus ascended to heaven, that night, the earth got dark again. And the Son of God wasn't in the world, but his spirit was left. And that next morning, the sun rose again. And that baton was passed. It was passed to us. And that pressing on is what Paul's talking about. Now we have the ability to move forward. Even when things die, even when seasons end, even when we're in mourning, we press on towards the goal. You know, church, we have all pain. We all have suffering. We've all have lost something in this world. That's what we have in common. But what binds us together is his love for us that gives us hope despite what is going on around us. And we press on, for Jesus Christ has laid hold of us and he's not letting go, amen? He's not letting go of us. And Paul goes on to say is, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, there was about 500 people to see Jesus ascend into heaven. Just think about that. He taught thousands, healed from morning to night, affected countless people that the scripture says can't even be recorded in scripture because there's no amount of books that could hold what Jesus did. And yet there was only 500 people to see him ascend. And the miracle to see him ascend, and they're just looking and saying like, what now? And an angel appeared and said, get going. Go do what the Lord said to do. Go to the upper room and wait. And guess how many people made it to the upper room? 120. So it went from thousands upon thousands that Jesus ministered to, 500 seeing him ascend, and 120 people were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came down. Because Jesus doesn't need an army, he just needs the willing. And if they would have mourned and stayed in that mourning, they would have never stepped into the new season that Jesus had for them. The new season that was emerging, he said, greater things you will do. Amen? And we're in that season to move forward and to go into places that we were once scared to go into, but now we have the Spirit of God, a lion inside of us that is not intimidated by the obstacles and things of this world. You know, I was a preacher's kid, and I saw my father preach many sermons that I slept through, a lot of them. You know, Lord has a sense of humor. Now I'm the one, my kids are sleeping through my sermons. And I remember being called into ministry, and I would always ask my dad for advice. Talk to him about the problems and troubles of the church. Then about a year and a half ago, he passed away. And it was kind of weird because I would talk to him, and he would text me after Sunday morning service and say how good of a job I did. And I'm sure a father's love, he was blinded by a lot of stuff, but he was encouraging me. It would have been so easy to sit and say, Lord, I can't move forward. I can't be the leader now. But a new season emerged and I stepped out. And the new season is greater than the one before. This season with you is greater than what was behind me. In church, the season that's coming right here for you is better than what was, because God always renews us and brings us into things we never thought possible. The children of Israel sat in the wilderness 40 years. And then one day, after the death of Moses, God told Joshua, get up and cross the Jordan. You're going in. They gathered the things. They took the ark. As soon as the high priest, their feet hit the water parted, and they went in to the promised land. There was giants in the land. There was Jericho, a city, a fortified city that no one thought could come down. And what did God tell them? He said, march around the city like crazy people. March around it, and on the seventh day, blow your trumpets, blow your shofars. And the walls came down. And they studied the walls, and there's only one section of the wall that didn't collapse, and we know that story, Rahab, who became in the line of Jesus, amen? But the city walls, they didn't fall out, they fell in and created a ramp where they went right into the city and they got victory. What was an obstacle before Jesus will create a path for your victory. And all we have to do is have faith as a mustard seed and believe the empty tomb is with us now. The power of Jesus is within us and a new season is here. So let's claim that this morning. Let's hold on to it. And let's know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, risen for us. Let's pray. Lord, bless everyone here this morning as we celebrate this extraordinary day, Lord. An extraordinary day in you that we celebrate a risen Savior, a Lord that came down off his throne, became like us, and took our punishment and our sin and made us co-heirs with you, Lord. Not only did you come down off your throne and leave your kingdom, but now you're sharing your kingdom with us. You're sharing your life with us in victory. For one day, Lord, our faith in you will lead us into eternal life, and we rejoice. But today, we rejoice because we have life, and we have it more abundantly because of you. You said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you have come to give us life and more abundantly. Lord, we stand in that promise. Lord, we stand in that victory. Lord, bless everyone here. Bless everyone in this place and show them that there is life and there's a new season that will be better than what we could ever imagine. Lord, let us obtain and let us know the power of your resurrection. In your precious name, amen. Church, we have hope because Jesus Christ came, died, and he rose again. Amen. We have that hope right now. And let's live in that hope. Let's live in the peace. Let's live in the joy of the Lord. And let's live for today. Amen. It was great to have you this morning. And I invite you back because we have church next Sunday. And we would love to have you come back. Amen. Because we're a church that's going places. And we're a church that's doing things. And we want you to be a part of it. We want you to be part of what God's doing here. So thank you for coming. Thank you for spending your Easter Sunday with us. Because Sundays are better together and they're better with you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.